Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
1 hour down and three to go. Jake Volnick for the guys here on The Fan. It's been a busy first hour, I think is a fair way to put it. Did not go the way that we necessarily expected. Definitely not before the show started, and definitely not even after we were leading up to it 5 minutes and got the Russ news, but here we are. Let's get a little bit more insight into your Browns in the meantime. Let's bring in our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, I've had to spend part of my first hour here ranting about just how bad of a quarterback Kenny Pickett is, because they're like ants. The supporters of Kenny Pickett, they're like ants. They just crawl through the woodwork and they find their way out. I'm losing my mind.
And what do you want me to do about it?
I tell them that Kenny Pickett's not a good quarterback. I don't know anything. Just agree with me.
He's better than DTR.
Well, listen, Daryl, that's about a bar I could army crawl over, okay? We're putting it awfully low. I don't love it. I don't love the bar that we're setting there. But you're not wrong. I don't know if he's better than DTR in a fifth round pick, but he's better than DTR. So here we are. Obviously, the big news of the night, Russell Wilson, no longer a free agent quarterback, signing with the New York Giants. What's really left on the table right now in your eyes for the Browns, legitimately going forward at the quarterback spot?
The draft.
That about as deep as it goes? That's about as deep as it goes for me. But
I don't want any of these guys. So I honestly don't care who the Browns sign. I'm not going to shill for them to sign any one of these guys. I don't care. They're all terrible options. None of them are good quarterbacks anymore. And there's a reason I've been calling it dumpster diving for quarterbacks this offseason, because that's exactly what you're doing. So best hope is the draft. And I don't know. I mean... Not so sure that, NFL executives are as crazy about these quarterbacks at the top of the draft as, some folks believe them to be.
Hey, is there anything there? I mean, when we look at the veteran options, Carson Wentz, a name that we'll maybe chime on here for like 5 seconds. But I think the other veteran option that brings any sort of excitement is the idea that the Browns could still out and go and trade for Kirk Cousins. Is that something to you that's still on the table, or have they kind of moved past that?
Well, I don't know if they moved past it. I have. I mean, he obviously doesn't want to be in a situation with another rookie quarterback, so that obviously, it impacts the Browns, because I'm guessing the Browns are going to have one or two rookie quarterbacks here. So, he's off the table as far as I'm concerned.
How realistic of an option was Russ to begin with? Like, do you feel that they were going after him and pursuing him hard, or was that sort of just, well, if everything else falls wrong for the NFL, maybe we'll bring him in? Because the $10.5 million mark, I'm not saying it's good, but it was better than probably what was expected. It was lower than what a lot of people thought, or Russ himself thought he was going to get.
Well, I all these contracts that have been signed this offseason are all too rich for the Browns' blood. Like, let's be honest about it. They need somebody that can come in here on a close to a veteran minimum deal or less than, I don't know, what, $8 million a year? Yeah, and also, too, you want you don't want to make a commitment to them either because none of these guys are worth making a long-term commitment to. So it is, I like to say, the worst year to need a quarterback. The Browns need multiple. The options are not great. There is no good plan out there. You know, you got guys like Carson Wentz now who are left, right? I guess if they sign him, you could say the Browns officially win that trade.
You got them both. You got the
pick
and the quarterback.
10 years later, they win the trade.
Oh, my gosh. One of the things that rubbed me the wrong way as soon as it happened was Miles being brought in as a recruit for Russ. To sort of, you know, try to help reel him in. I threw out the idea that, well, you just requested a trade and you were saying everything that was wrong and now you're going to tell the quarterback that everything's right. Felt like some hypocrisy. Would you be in the same boat? Does it sort of feel like they read the room wrong on that? And is this him signing with the Giants push you any further to that conclusion?
Not really. I'm disinterested in all these quarterbacks. I am. I can't sit here with any semblance of credibility and pound the table for a guy for Browns fans. In the sense of, they have to bring this guy in because if they bring him in, they're absolutely going to win this year and have a great season. I can't do that for a single one of these guys. I can't do it for the draft picks in this particular draft class. I can't really pound the table for those. Now, I can make a case for why the Browns, would sign one of these guys. I can make a case why the Browns would use the number two pick on one of these, top quarterbacks allegedly in this draft class, right? I can make the case for it. I can explain to folks why they're doing it and why it's a reasonable move to make, but I can't pound the table for any of these guys.
Darryl, was there a quarterback at any point during this entire free agency period, even if it was at day one, that was of any interest to you, or was this just pretty much lame duck from the start? Yeah.
No, I've been saying since February that it was a pretty terrible offseason if you need a quarterback. I coined the dumpster diving for quarterbacks phrase right out of the gate. I think as soon as Andrew Berry was done with his postseason wrap-up press conference, I think I'll back on January 6th, I coined the time to go dumpster diving for quarterbacks this offseason. And guess what? I was right. No, I was right. Look at the guys who've been signed. Look at the guys who were left. Right. Look at the contracts that have been handed out. Yeah, I was right. No good options. It is what it is. You still have to field the team. You still got to put somebody on the field. I get that. And it's up to Andrew Berry to find the best of the worst that is available to put on this roster and either be a bridge quarterback or a mentor or whatever until, they start playing meaningful football in September.
Darryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports beat reporter with us, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. All right, Darryl, we can get off the quarterback talk, at least, for a little bit.
Thank God. We can,
I mean, you're never really away from it. We got a whole month. We got a whole month, and we're talking at least once
it's
on the station every day.
It's like an infectious disease that just won't go away.
Hey, 41.
There is no cure.
No. Although, if you ask the afternoon show, Shador is the cure. At least JP.
Okay.
that's a direct quote from them. Don't hold me to it. Albert Breer was on earlier with those guys and basically said the Browns, if they wanted to get a deal done with Brandon Ayuk, because that's the rumor that's been floating around, they'd have to get it done within the week. Something with his contract, a bonus essentially kicks in for being rostered, and obviously they're not going to look to move him after that. Just naturally the way it goes. It was the same story with Kirk Cousins. Would you expect the Browns to be in hot pursuit of Brandon Ayuk within that week?
I don't personally like the idea. He's coming off injury, so I'm also I don't like his contract, so I'm not all that interested in him. But Andrew Berry has a track record of trading for wide receivers just about every offseason. And, you know, we'll see. This also is not a draft for wide receivers. Keep that in mind. But, yeah, I don't know if I'm all that in on Brandon Ayuk.
Does it matter to you that they don't have the quarterback situation figured out before going and trying to find a wide receiver? Like, does it matter that they have to have the guy throwing the ball to him? Or are you okay with weapons there being there before the guy?
I think the Browns offense right now, they need running backs, they need tight ends. Receivers down the list on my priorities right now when I look at the offense. They shored up the offensive line. They added some versatility there this offseason already. But when I look at the offense, receiver's not even a priority to me right now. I think they need tight end help and they need running back help.
Yeah, those are both pretty high up there. Have you fallen in love with a running back, Daryl? Have you gotten a running back that you've fallen in love with yet? Or a tight end, either or?
No, I think there's a lot of good players in this draft at both of those positions. And, you know, with the picks that the Browns have, I anticipate that, you know, they're going to use those draft picks to find those players and fill those needs because this is still an expensive football team. They've got 10 draft picks. And from my standpoint, I think they need to find 5 contributors in this draft class, minimum. Got to have a 50% hit rate this year, mostly because Andrew Berry's been so terrible in the draft for the previous 4 years. So need a 50% hit rate. And in fairness to Andrew, he's not had a lot of high draft picks. A little easier to hit on the higher draft picks. Of course, his first high draft pick, he totally blew with Jedrick Wills. But he's got to hit on some guys that can contribute.
All right, Daryl, I got you away for the quarterback as long as I could. We're circling back around. I tried. All right, I threw you a bone, basically, of one that wasn't. Andrew Berry not in attendance for Cam Ward's pro day. Should Browns fans be upset, angered, worried, anything in between?
Well, there's several ways to look at this. One, Cam was already in Berea. They looked at him at the combine. They looked at him in Berea. What else are you going to see at a pro day, okay? You're trusting your scouting department, I think, to look at the other Miami Hurricanes that were participating. There's the other school of thought that, hey, you got the number 2 pick in the draft. Probably be a good idea if the GM and the head coach show up, especially considering the Tennessee Titans sent everyone but the owner to Miami to check out Cam Ward's pro day, right? So there's that argument to be made. And then, of course, the other tentacle is, well, Andrew Berry just hasn't been, you know, historically he doesn't go to a lot of pro days, and maybe that's why he's not so good drafting. But I have to tell you, folks, pro days are, for me, least important in the scouting process to me. If you can't look good throwing with just your underwear on and hitting receivers in stride, then you probably don't belong in the National Football League, right? And, you know, that's why I kind of gave some of the videos, the Cam Ward videos, a little haterade yesterday. Of course, he looks great making those throws. There's no defense on the field. He should look great making those throws. What's he do when he's got linebackers and safeties and defensive linemen in his face? What's he do when his receiver's battling safeties and cornerbacks, right? So it all looks pretty when you're throwing on air. But, you know, for me, pro days do nothing to move the needle for me. The pro days are important because you reinforce your scouting processes as far as the information you've gathered about prospects with the folks that are on campus again, right? It gives you an opportunity to go back to campus and revisit information you have gathered or to follow up on information you've gathered or to gather additional information. But if you are moving the needle because a guy looks good throwing in his underwear or running routes in their underwear or running 40-yard dashes in their underwear, you're scouting for the draft completely backwards.
Do you expect Andrew Berry to show up for Shador's pro day with Colorado? And if he does, is it telling you anything, or is it basically just telling you maybe Andrew is busy today or yesterday, or maybe that they pretty much figured that the Titans were taking Cam Ward?
Well, I don't know that the Titans are taking Cam Ward. I mean, you know, Schefter put it out there today that Tennessee's willing to, you know, if you're going to make an offer, it's got to be a good one. Look, that's part of the process. This is the read and pay attention to everything, but believe nothing season for the next month, okay? Because I there's part of me that suspects that none of these teams are just completely blown away by either one of these quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. Then there's the other part of me that's like, okay, Titans are going to take him number one. He's going to be the number one pick, and the Browns are on the clock at number two, right? And, you know, and I love the reaction every time somebody's mock draft comes out on social media that follows that. It amuses me to no end. Look, I like reading mock drafts, but in the grand scheme of things, they mean squat. They mean absolutely nothing. That's why I don't do them. I don't need to be wrong. I can be wrong in plenty of other areas. I don't need to be wrong doing a mock draft, okay? They're fun. They're for me, mock drafts are for entertainment purposes only, okay? And what I love about this mock draft season is Shedeur Sanders, perfect New York Giants at three, but what a cluster disaster it would be if the Browns took him at two. Might be the dumbest thing I've ever read. And that is pretty much the theme when you look at a lot of these mock drafts, because they put Shedeur with the Giants at three, and they put Abdul Carter with the Browns at two. And the reasoning behind that is because, well, the Giants are the ones that really need a quarterback. Well, if you know anything about the National Football League, you know that there is no franchise more desperate for a quarterback than the Cleveland Browns. You will find, look, yes, the Giants need a franchise quarterback. They have Vince Lombardi trophies in the case already. They have multiple Vince Lombardis in the case, okay? The Browns have nothing. Zero, zip, nada. They're the ones that need the franchise quarterback, yet everyone wants to mock the defensive end pass rusher to the Browns after they just gave a record contract to their future Hall of Fame pass rusher, Myles Garrett. And then, you know, well, the Giants absolutely needed to have a quarterback, and that's why we're mocking Shedeur to them at three. That's a perfect fit.
That's also driven me nuts. I've been absolutely wild about it. Daryl Reiter, our beat reporter with us on the hotline. Daryl, I'll get you out of here with this. Were you shocked at all to see the results of the survey claiming 57% of adults in Northeast Ohio want the Browns to be playing downtown?
No. Considering 85% of the fans that go to Browns games are not within the city of Cleveland limits. They all go to downtown. And I love hearing fans complain to me how they hate the lakefront and downtown experience when it comes to Browns games. And also, too, I have friends that travel to Browns road games, and they always tell me how horrible the existing stadium is in comparison to every other stadium they go to, and how they wish we could have one of those here in Cleveland. And, well, the Browns are trying to do it, but they're not getting a whole lot of political help, a lot of resistance there. But, no, I think that the Brook Park location, look, I have been saying going back to when the Browns renovated the stadium back in 2014-15, I said back then they needed to build in Brook Park. That's where the stadium needs to be. Two freeways, state route, airport right there, boom. That's what they need to do. And lo and behold, guess what project they've settled on to pursue?
You're definitely... Hey, listen, if you want to put your stake in something that's right, you definitely nailed that one, Daryl. I appreciate you, as always, sitting on the side on a Tuesday. And as always, I hope that you're good. And hopefully the rest of the shows don't ask you as much about quarterbacks, but good luck with that.
Oh, no, that's no. It's going to be the same answer for every show. I don't discriminate. The answer you get is the same one Ken Carmen gets, the same one that the midday guys get and the afternoon guys get.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I don't doubt it for a second. Just know, Daryl, those questions are coming. They're definitely coming.
All right.
You, bud. I appreciate you. Yep. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. Just got done talking to our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Reiter. Kind of expected. Daryl just not. He's not excited to talk quarterback. He hasn't been excited to talk quarterback for, well, yep, I think we're going on about 2 months. He hasn't been excited to talk quarterback. Yet here we stand, constantly in the thick of it, not having a true answer set up at all to this point. I think much to Daryl's dismay. I think he'd like to just have an answer on the board at this point so he can get past it. But still very good stuff out of Daryl, especially we got stadium stuff. We had everything, quarterback, Brandon Ayuk. I think my big takeaway is that what Daryl had to say sort of just reaffirmed my idea. And I was listening to Ken and Anthony talk about it. I listened to Nick and JP commenting on a little bit as well. The Cam Ward pro day stuff and Andrew Berry not being there. For me, it's like, okay, guys, we can go down the rabbit hole of what does this mean? How many different possibilities and scenarios can we draw out of Cam Ward having a pro day without Andrew Berry in attendance? Reality is, what are you going to do at his pro day? Truthfully, if you're sitting there and you're Andrew Berry, what is going to change in your mind from his pro day? Forget about on the field. What's going to change in his mind even off the field? How much of a conversation are you going to be able to have with the top quarterback in the draft at his pro day? Probably not a ton of one-on-one time. Probably not figuring out anything more about the personality that is Cam Ward. And you're definitely watching him throw to his receivers with no defense, not figuring out anything different about the actual quarterback and the guy on the field that is Cam Ward. There's just nothing to be learned there. And reality is, if you wanted to sort of size up a trade package to go get Cam, you already know who the guy that you're trading for is. Nothing's going to change at his pro day there. So if you're going to trade up and go and try to draft him, you're going to have that available to you. And if you're going to sit pat and let the Titans draft him, well, then the Titans are going to draft him, and he's not going to be available to you anyway. If he is the bona fide number one pick in the draft and is shaping up more and more, I think, every single day to get into that range, that yeah, it just sort of is. If he's going to be the number one pick, how much time are you exhausting just trying to find out what you can about Cam Ward? How much time are you exhausting seeing what Cam Ward is? You've either identified him at this point as the top quarterback or not, I'm sure. And you're going to do whatever you want at that point. Either go ahead and take him, he's not our guy, or we're just not going to trade for him, or we are. You don't really need to go see the pro day. I don't think it really means anything. I expect him to be there for Shador's pro day. I'd be a little surprised if he wasn't, because there's still a lot to be learned about Shador. I think you pretty much have it all figured out with Cam. You have a lot of it figured out with Shador. It's going to be more of a public showing more than anything to get out to Shador's pro day. Because, you know, you don't show up to Shador's, Deion might have some comments. Shador himself might have some comments. You at least got to show up to that guy's and keep yourself out of the microscope of, ooh, Browns didn't show up. Deion talks bad about you. Shador talks bad about you. Like, yeah, you're probably just going to show up as a safety more than anything else to make sure that you don't have it going the other way. A couple of you guys want to jump in on this, and if you do, 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Mike is in Texas. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, I didn't get much of Daryl, but I just kind of want to talk about the quarterback situation anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, we started sliding down on the record last year, started looking at drafts and everything else, and it does sound like Ward's going to go number one. But, you know, we always hear this thing about taking someone in the first round, a crap shoot, and a lot of them bomb. And, you know, maybe just trade back and take a second or a third round quarterback. But I went over 15 years of drafts. And with 44 number one picks or first round picks, 16 hit. It's about, you know, 1 in 3. You go past that, and it goes down quite a bit. But of those 16 that hit, 7 of those were number one picks overall. So you go number two pick until like early in the second round, 8 or 9 picks in the second round, the hit rate's about 1 in 4. After that, it goes about 1 in every 14 to 18. Point being that if we don't take Sanders, and I know that you're a big board, you've got Shador number one right now, right?
Yeah.
Unless
correct.
You change it. That seems like, yeah, I mean, it may not be a sexy pick. You know, he may not be, some people think he's not a can't miss or whatever. But the bottom line is you got to throw a dart at it. Because if you don't, you just decide, we'll wait till third round or fourth round and go after, you know, the Ohio State Howard or somebody like that. History says good luck. You know, you've got about a 1 in 14 chance of that hitting. So It may not be great odds to take Sanders, but it's the best odds we got, especially now with Wilson gone and everything else. I kind of hate to use it. Now, if we think we want to use that number two on Carter and go early in the second round with a quarterback, I mean, there again, it seems like that's about the same odds as going number two or three or four overall, too. But history's not on our side if we trade back too much.
Yeah, and Mike, I've been trying to hammer it home. You laid it out perfectly, and I appreciate the call. I think, truthfully, if you're going to boil it down, like, listen, Mike brings you some of the stats on guys that hit for the criteria that he's using there. Like, it really is, at the end of the day, guys, the draft is sort of a dartboard, right? And it's a cliche that obviously gets thrown around very, abundantly. Everyone kind of throws it. But, like, you go past the first few picks in the draft, you really are, and especially getting towards 33 and a little bit farther back than that, you're taking about 5-6 steps back and going, okay, now throw the dart and hit the spot you need to hit. No, I'm okay standing at the line. I'm okay standing at the line and taking my shot at two and that sort of being it. I think you got to be willing to take it. Whether or not you like it or not, your best option at this point sort of is just take the quarterback. All right, let's squeeze one more in here. Let's go out to Scott. Scott, you got about 45 seconds. Go on, man.
All right, I'll make it quick then, Jake. So basically, Daryl's spot on. I feel like with us, there's not really a whole lot to be excited about for the quarterback position. And I'll admit, I wasn't too high on Sanders to begin with. I've sort of warmed up to him more as of late. But I feel like if we don't do anything to solve the quarterback position this year, like whether it's trading for Cousins or drafting Sanders, like I'm in the draft Sanders camp myself, but I feel like if we don't take him, we're essentially going to be punting on the 25 season, and God knows what's going to happen for the team after that. We're going to enter into another rebuild, which I've been dealing with nothing but rebuilds in the entire 30 plus years I've been rooting for this team. But at some point, as much as I hate the prospect of drafting another bust, we got to take a chance because Whiteman once said you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. If we take a shot on Sanders and he turns out to be great, then all right, we solve our problem at least in the short term. Let's hope we don't screw up like what we did with Baker. And if he doesn't pan out, well then, okay, well, that's par for the course as much as I hate to admit it. But,
yeah.
I mean, I would go into more detail on that, but I know you're up against it, so I'll just leave it at that for now.
I appreciate the call, Scott, a ton. I mean, it truly is. You just got to take the swing, guys. Like, you said it yourself. You didn't love the idea of Shador. You've warmed up to it. Like, you don't have to be excited, but you can't punt on the year. That's not an option at this point. All right, let's leave that there. Get a grip coming to you in about 25 minutes at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. But coming your way in about 5, Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints for Draft Daily. Going to let us know where New Orleans might be looking in the draft. That's coming your way next, again, in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. Get a grip coming up in about 17 minutes, but it is time for Draft Daily. And it's time to take a look at the Saints, drafting 9th overall. What are they going to do? I feel like top 10 is where it feels the most interesting right now because it is clearly like, hey, once you get in the top 10, I think you get your premier players in this draft. Once you fall out of 10, much farther back than that, it's like, okay, and we've hit the second tier of players. We've gone down. So the Saints are definitely in that interesting spot where I think they fall in line of the players where you get some interesting stuff. You can definitely find somebody that's going to be of interest and of use to you. And I think that it does get to be a bit of a fun little look here. I don't know what to expect here because we're going to have to ask Ross about just sort of where we're going in terms of a quarterback with the Saints. You got Derek Carr on the roster. Where on earth are you going with Derek Carr? Where are you turning to? Is that your long-term solution? Because we know the outside looking in right now is sort of a Saints, sort of a cap issue, which is a hell. I think cap hell is probably the proper way to put it. Probably worse than you're looking at for even the Browns? Like, you think the Browns have cap issues? Go and look at the Saints. The Saints have been in a cap purgatory practically for the last 5 years and still trying to make it work. And just every year can't figure it out. And obviously, in some capacity, playing into that then would be your sort of next option of, all right, let's see Derek Carr going through and operating and taking up a large number of the salary there. He's eaten up. If you were to cut him, there's just no chance. He'd be eating $80 million. You'd have to get somebody to take it. He's taken up about $20 million on the cap. They've restructured it to make it work, but I don't know how much love you have for where they're at right now. They've been able to make it look a little better, but again, I don't think it's great. I don't think that I'd be overly impressed sort of on where the Saints are standing. I expect probably something in the range of let's go shore up the defense, let's go shore up the line and get a piece for the future. Maybe a best available, a little BPA action. But I'm excited to see sort of where you end up in the long term, what you end up sort of deciding on. And let's figure out what it's going to be. Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nobody better to talk Saints. He's Ross Jackson. He's a Locked On Saints podcast host. He's a beat writer for LouisianaSports.net. He's a Saints analyst for Channel 4 over in New Orleans. He does it all. He really covers it top to bottom. And he joins us now. Ross, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy, I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for having me on, man. Hope you're doing all right.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we were just talking before we got you on here, and I just got to ask you, what in the hell is going on with Derek Carr? Is that the Saints option going into 20? Like, we entered this offseason, I was like, there's no way they're hanging on to Derek Carr. That's got to be something that's happening. Well, we've made it to late March, and it's still Derek Carr right now.
Yeah, exactly right. I think unless something completely unforeseen happens, Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback here in New Orleans in 2025. We've actually expected that locally here for quite some time. It's just, you know, the Saints didn't really have another option to go to. This was an easy situation for them to be able to go to be able to get their salary cap kind of, you know, compliant and ready to go. Now they're only $6 million over the salary cap next year instead of $60+ million over the salary cap like they are usually. And so Derek Carr was kind of their best mechanism. So unless they planned on restructuring his contract and then trading him after June 1st, which is a possibility but is unlikely, then, you know, I don't think you're going to see Derek Carr in any other uniform but New Orleans Saints uniform in 2025.
All right, then I assume it'd be safe here with the number 9 pick. Saints probably aren't looking to go quarterback then, no?
Yeah, safe assumption for sure.
What positions, then, would you look at the Saints at the top of the draft? Where would you say a position in need that you could see him turning to?
Yeah, I think I would look at the trenches, offensive line, defensive line. I'd look at wide receiver, certainly as a position that makes sense for them. They've got a lot of speed guys, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. Both these guys are 4-3 types. And then they added, or really, I guess I shouldn't say added, brought back Brandon Cooks for his age 32 season after he was drafted here in New Orleans back in 2014. The first time, by the way, that Brandon Cooks got an opportunity to choose where he wanted to go as opposed to being traded. And he ends up choosing the New Orleans Saints. Kind of nice. And so, you know, they got all these kind of like smaller, speedy guys, but they don't have the big-bodied wideout. And so I can certainly see them do that. Or maybe they just decided they want to go with a big-time playmaker so they could go corner. They could go tight end in this draft. They could even go running back in this draft, although running back at 9 is a little rich for a lot of people's taste. So really they have the opportunity to kind of go any which direction based upon who's going to be not just the best player on the board, Jake, but the best playmaker that's on the board, I think is going to be their big focus.
Now, Ross, you throw out like 15 different options there on where they could go, right?
I know, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I didn't help you there.
No, it's absolutely perfect because we've talked to a couple of fan bases and a couple of just cities in general with teams, and it's like, yeah, they don't really have a set place where they're looking to go, and their fan base doesn't even necessarily have a set player or set position that they're dialed into. Would you say that it's sort of similar right now for the Saint City at 9, that the fan base it hasn't even fallen in love with a certain guy or position?
Yeah, I would absolutely say that. I think there's fans that want them to stick in the trenches and go offensive line or defensive line. They recently added Dylan Raidens from the Tennessee Titans, so maybe that shifted a little bit of that thinking. Some want them to go pass catcher, whether that's wide receiver or a tight end. Others want them to focus on the defensive side of the football, go and get another stand-up edge rusher to fit new defensive coordinator Brandon Staley's system. Some fans want them to go cornerback because they still brought Isaac Yiadom back from San Francisco after he took a bit of a year away over in the Bay Area. He returns here to New Orleans as well. He spent 2023 here, performed extremely well, and I think it was 8 starts that he got. So some want them to go cornerback, though, because they still think of Isaac Yiadom as more of a rotational guy. And so, like, fans and the fan base here in New Orleans, like, I'm not far from the French Quarter as we speak. I'm actually in the French Quarter as we speak. Don't worry. I'm not doing anything I'm not supposed to be doing on radio. I just happen to live around the area. And, you know, I could walk outside right now and ask 5 different people who they want the Saints to draft. They're going to give me 5 different answers, that's for sure.
Now, do you fall into that same category, Ross? Are you also sort of undecided, or have you locked in a name that you really like?
Oh, I got a number one, buddy. I got a number one for the New Orleans Saints. I think that they have a clear need. You want me to go ahead and spoil it now?
Yeah, spoil it. Let me hear it.
All right, good. My number one prospect for them, in terms of what's realistic at 9, right? Mm-hmm. If there's some crazy fall, obviously this all changes. But my number one prospect for them at number 9 is Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona. I think one of the biggest needs that New Orleans has right now is that they need a chain mover, and they need somebody that can run a slant. They need somebody that can run an out. They need somebody that can run a quick dig that'll pick them up 5, 6, 7 yards, and that can also turn a 6-yard pass into a 10-yard gain. That could turn a 2-yard pass or a 3-yard pass into a 4 or 5-yard gain. Those little bits of yak make so much of a difference in terms of your ability to be able to manage the game. The Saints had that in Michael Thomas years ago, and they have stressed to find that ever since, even trying to hang around with Michael Thomas probably longer than they should have for a while. And so I think a guy like Teteroa McMillan would absolutely solve that problem and be a perfect complement to guys like Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Brandon Cooks.
Now, how realistic do you think that it is that the Saints are aligned with your thinking, Ross, that they need to go get another receiver? Because you mentioned they brought back Brandon Cooks. I know Chris Olave is sort of up in the air on what he's going to be. Obviously dealt with the big injury last year. And then Rashid Shaheed. You could make the argument they have 3 pretty good wide receivers sitting in that room right now. Are they aligned with you, or you think they're looking somewhere else?
I think they're still looking. I've spoken to some sources within the building that are, pretty adamant about the idea that they should be adding a big-bodied wide receiver, certainly looking to add a complement to those speed guys. And here's the other thing, too. When it comes to Kellen Moore, who's the new head coach here and bringing his new offensive system in, he's going to want to run the football. And a big part of running the football is having solid perimeter blockers. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks, those guys have great speed. They've got good route running ability. They have good separation ability. And they have a want to contribute to the run game. There's no doubt about that. But who are the guys that are going to be able to go out there and really seal off a perimeter for an outside zone run? I think a guy like Teteroa McMillan, I'd throw Alec Ayumaner coming out of Stanford as a possible second round, alternative. But a guy like Teteroa McMillan would be able to be that guy. And I think that that's something that this team will absolutely be invested in. Kellen Moore had that in A.J. Brown. Last year, he had it in Keenan Allen. Before that, he had it in Amari Cooper. Before that, over in Dallas. Those guys all contributed to the run-blocking game, even though they didn't get a lot of shine for it. That's something that Teteroa McMillan would be able to bring. So I think there would be a concerted interest and or effort to get some big-bodied wide receiver that contributes to both phases of the offensive game here in New Orleans.
Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints podcast with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Any chance you could see the Saints moving either up or down here, realistically? Has it been a buzz, anything like that?
Yeah, if they moved, it would be moving up. General Manager Mickey Loomis here in New Orleans, not necessarily a fan of moving down. His logic is sound. You move up for a player that you want. You move back, you don't know what you're going to get. That's the kind of the way that they boil it down. And so moving up would be the option for New Orleans. I don't know, though, that they will need to or look to do that based upon the way that this draft board can fall. At 9, they should be able to get somebody that will be an immediate contributor, whether it's at wide receiver, whether it's at running back, whether it's at tight end, or even on the defensive line. A guy like Mason Graham, who could fall or something like that from Michigan, James Pierce Jr. coming out of Tennessee as an edge rusher. They're going to be in a good position to be able to land, to have if they have 10 players that they really like at 9, they're probably going to have 3 or 4 of those guys to pick from by the time that it actually clocks. So I don't know. I think they're going to be a stick and pick situation, but I would watch them to move around later on in the draft for sure.
All right, Ross, I'll get you out of here with this. Plant your flag. The Saints take who at number 9?
Yeah, I'm rolling with Tetteroa McMillan, man. I think he's the guy at number 9 for New Orleans. That's the number one prospect for them. I know that McMillan's absolutely on their radar at that spot, and I know that Tyler Warren is on their radar at that spot, and so, or at least that's what I've heard. And so, you know, we'll see which one of those guys ends up being the actual selection there at 9. But I think the Saints want a big-bodied pass catcher that can affect the middle of defenses, affect the middle of the field for Derek Carr, and allow them to also be able to kind of build the vehicle around who's going to be the driver after Derek Carr. I think it's going to be a big focus in this year's draft as well.
All right, Ross, I appreciate you carving out the time, sitting down with us, and maybe sometime here before the draft gets underway. I'll look forward to talking again.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You let me know. I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me on. You take care, stay safe, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, buddy.
Yep, absolutely. Ross Jackson of the Locked On Saints podcast with us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Make sure you go check out his work. Ross does really good stuff over there. Coming up here in about 5 minutes, get a grip as we transition into the back half of the show. It's Jake Volnick with the guys right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.